Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, about an hour ago, we were heading into the 4 o'clock hour. I played this song that was shared by a friend of mine today. It's a really good song, and I was asking him, you know, a little bit more about the artist, and then we determined, unbeknownst to him and I, that it was an AI singer. So that's one of the topics we'll talk about with George Rosenthal. Tech Talk Tuesday is coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we always talk about a lot of fun stuff with him, and he has a big list. We never get to the entire list of what he wants to talk about. Here's one, though. MIT students create electrodes that move your muscles using AI to do things like play piano, drawing, and mixing drinks. Are you kidding me? See, like, if I had this available when I was 14 years old and I bought that Fender Mustang, I could have been a rock star beyond all rock stars because I could have just programmed my hands to play the guitar in a certain way.
I'm sure that's very natural sounding.
But some of this stuff is just crazy,
no,
isn't it?
No, it is. It's completely nuts. Right,
so that's going to be a segment that either, you know, dazzles you or scares the living daylights out of you. But this is kind of fun, and we'll talk about this with George, too. I'm going over to ThrottleNet tomorrow because you know this, Sue. Every week we do this, he talks about AI. He's like, Mark, you need to do this. And my wife uses ChatGPT, and I think she uses some of the others for business, you know, in sharpening up some documents or whatever. And George has made the offer, so I'm going to take him up on the offer. I think I'm heading over at like 8:30, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for a couple hours. And I'm going to, so I will come back a different AI person tomorrow. And I'll either be more scared or maybe a little bit more open-minded to the options that it will afford me. Because again, one of the things that we always talk about with this, and George makes it a point, some of this stuff is really positive in the ways that it can help
Very
you.
Very helpful.
It's just the other parts that are kind of scary that are taking over our lives. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Plus, I'll have audio cut of the day. We are visited this hour by my daughter for the second time in three shows because we're going to the baseball game tonight. And her friend, our neighbor, Amanda Mertens, is here as well. Amanda works at the Rockwood Summit radio station. You might remember they came in for a fish fry.
Yes, I do remember
that. So she's looking at the equipment that we have in here. And I told her, man, the studio looks a lot better than it did 3 weeks ago because we just got an upgrade, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of my favorite guests all the time, Curtis Houck is on the phone patiently listening to me rant and rave here. He is managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Hello, Curtis. How are you this afternoon?
Hello. Good.
I love this Scott Pelley is a whining baby story more than anything else right now because the storyline has emerged that he kind of
made some trouble at a staff meeting last week where Barry Weiss introduced the new executive producer of 60 Minutes, didn't he?
Did you know that saying I am Spartacus will not end well for you, you know?
He thinks it will, though.
He thinks it will. I mean, I did not know that, you know, that bad-mouthing your bosses in the middle of a team meeting is the way to go. Like, if you don't get what you want, you just stand up and accuse them of having no qualifications, among other things. And, I guess they'll just quit or something. That's kind of where we are. Scott Pelley is such an ignorant guy. I've heard from a lot of people inside CBS, and they are not happy with him and the people there, giving them a bad eye.
Yeah, well, he's amongst the worst over there. And, you know, what I would love to say, I'd love to have a moment with Scott Pelley legit and have a conversation, because one of the things, as you know, that Barry asked in the fall was, why do you think the American people think that, you know, you're biased, that we're biased? And there was stunned silence. They were so non-aware. Yep. They lacked self-awareness so much that they really didn't even know why people might not trust the elites at 60 Minutes. So I wrote an email, and I don't know if it'll ever get to him, but we had an instance, and I think I've spoken to you about this before, with Bill Whitaker, who is a correspondent for 60 Minutes. So I sent Bill.
Ferguson.
Yeah, well, no, but this was about Kim Gardner, our prosecutor, right? They probably did some crap about Ferguson, too, I guarantee you. But more recently, Kim Gardner, terrible circuit attorney, she was doing things that was really kind of ensuring that criminals could walk the streets. It was like what's her name from, or the dude in L.A., it was like that on steroids here in St. Louis. So anyway, Bill Whitaker and a guy named Jeff Begay, as you remember him, he did the same thing for CBS News. They come to town, they paint St. Louis as a racist city, they don't talk to any Democrats. I begged Jeff Begay. I said, Jeff, don't talk to me. I'm a conservative talk show host. I can put you in front of Democrats, even black Democrats, that will criticize Kim Gardner. So I wrote this to Bill Whitaker this morning, and I don't know if it'll get to him, but I said, the staff seems very confused about allegations of bias, but guess what, Bill? I can prove your bias. You came to St. Louis to do a BS piece on Kim Gardner painting my entire city as racist. What you did was journalistic malpractice. And if you still don't realize why, I'd suggest using Google or AI. She got booted, and I guess it was all because of racism, unquote, because actually it was because she sucked at her job. She was terrible, and Democrats knew that. But you wouldn't talk to anyone that strayed from your BS narrative. So that, Bill Whitaker, is why the country doesn't trust you anymore. It's your fault. It's not Barry Weiss's fault. Scott Pelley's arrogance made me spit Diet Coke out of my nose. I laughed so hard. I hope she fires Scott, you, and any other propagandists. I'd love to talk to you about this, Bill, on my show. I can put you in touch with my producer. What do you say? You think I'll get an offer from Mr. Whitaker back saying, yeah, let's chat? But the arrogance is unbelievable on the part of these CBS reporters and producers.
Yeah, sorry, Mark, I don't think so. unfortunately. I mean, the thing is, they think this makes them look good.
I know.
Oliver Darcy wrote two newsletters yesterday talking about how great this was, and it was about time someone stood up, and I just am like, again, I go back to, in any other profession, guys, would this work?
No.
The answer is no. No. Whatsoever. And they can't answer Barry's question. Why do people not trust us? Well, it's someone else's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. We all have people in our lives who do this, guys.
Yeah.
Who say, oh, it's someone else's fault. And this is the fundamental flaw of these people. They are the most arrogant profession in America, more so than national politicians. They say that they don't want to be the story. They love being the story, guys. They love being the center of attention.
There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. And, you know, they love, and this is one of the reasons they're offended. I think it was the Washington Free Beacon who tweeted this, because some people say that it's offensive that they hired Barry because, unlike the network's existing staffers who have, quote, dedicated their entire careers to understanding and developing the skills that are needed, she has, quote, zero experience in television. And then they kind of had this in parentheses. Well, CBS is reporting, CBS News is losing $50 million a year, so whatever they're doing is not working, right? So then she comes in, and she's made some modest changes. And by the way, I don't even think they're going to change 60 Minutes that much. She got rid of Sharon Alfonsi and a couple of the others. Curtis, what I've said in the last few weeks, and I don't know if this is because of Barry or not, but when 60 Minutes tackles a story that is apolitical, and they've done that a few times recently, more feature stories, right? I think they've been really good. I think the reporting's been excellent. But the bias seeps through on all these political stories, and that's what I think Barry is trying to get around. Not to just do bias in the other direction, but to say, hey, let's look at this from different perspectives and not go in with the narrative already set like Bill Whitaker did here in St. Louis.
Remember, that's all she wanted from Sharon Alfonsi. Could you get an on-the-record quote from the administration? That was it.
Yeah, and she didn't like that at all, right? Yeah.
No. And yada, 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 she sends this long email saying she's subject to political pressure, guys, political pressures, that this is censorship. Cecilia Vega is the other one, guys,
right.
That you have to take a name of. She was at ABC News for a long time, came over to CBS. She was, she had mentioned DEI, that she was the first Latina correspondent, that they fired the first Latina correspondent. And to that, I honestly say, I don't care. And that's kind of part of the issue here, that the bullet train story that they did a few weeks ago, phenomenal, about California, tens of billions of dollars going nowhere.
And see, there you
go. More of that.
That's an example.
It's good governance, basic accountability journalism.
Well, and they could have done that years ago. I mean, that whole thing's been going on for decades. Mark Halperin surprised me because Mark Halperin, who used to be, he was with ABC for a long time, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Went out.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing more independent journalism. He's pretty buttoned up on his politics. But here's his quote. 60 Minutes has done more to discredit the media as liberal than any other entity of the country. That's pretty harsh there from Mark Halperin, and he knows the business. He says Barry Weiss may be the best hope for CBS to restore its credibility. And let's also point out that this is not a new era, 2026 story. I can take you back to 1998 when Bernard Goldberg wrote the book Bias about Dan Rather and all the bias that existed in the 80s and the 90s. So it's not like it's new. They should be aware of where their credibility has been falling for literally decades.
Oh, and that book is still worth reading, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners, if you've not read that, it is so worth it. It kind of talks about the way the media framed the economy, the way the media framed things like homelessness, which actually is really interesting today, considering all that's going on in New York City and Los Angeles and so on and so forth. And you look back to the pillow talks that Steve Cross had with Barack Obama. You also may recall 1992 with the Clintons. Steve Croft talked to them when the Jennifer Flowers news hit, and he framed it all as just tabloid gossip. Tabloid gossip was what he used to describe what was going on with that. And that all lays the predicate for them to say there is no there. The Clintons are just being hounded by a bunch of perverts or conspiracy theorists. And, you move on to all kinds of other things. Sharon Alfonsi had a story. One of her last stories was celebrating social censorship in Germany.
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was an outrageous story. It really was. And it was actually, yeah. I talked about this earlier, because they actually have people that are proud of themselves for knocking at the door, just like the, Gestapo or the Stasi, more appropriately, in East Germany. And if there's a social media post that is offensive or deemed offensive by German officials, they're arresting people and prosecuting them. And that story that she did from a couple of months ago made it look like this is the greatest thing ever. People deserve justice for whatever, recognizing or failing to recognize we have freedom of speech in this country, at least, apparently not in Germany. So she's one of the worst. I'm not sorry to see her go by. One of the things that came out of some of the reporting from last week, and for people who aren't up to speed on all this, what happened was, is after there were cutbacks and some firings from Sharon Alfonsi and others, Cecilia Vega at 60 Minutes, they had a staff meeting. They introduced the new executive producer who doesn't have a lot of experience in television, and Scott Pelley stood up and said, you're murdering 60 Minutes. You're going to destroy 60 Minutes. He's apparently the guy who feels like he has the gravitas to do that, right? So that's a little bit of the background here. But when it comes to actual journalistic malpractice and bias, they're so unaware or unself-aware of what they do in these stories. It's rather shocking, even in this era, Curtis.
Well, I think some of them do know. They just don't care.
That's probably true. Yeah. No, I think you're right.
A lot of them don't. I mean, I think we are at a point with Catherine Marr at NPR. You look at somebody like her. You look at, a lot of people at the New York Times. It's a perpetual Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Am I out of touch? No, it is the children who are wrong. That is the situation ecosystem that we're living in. If you go over to Blue Sky, that's what they're saying. That's much more representative of the base. And the other thing, too, is they talk about how Republicans always have to be far right because they're scared of their base. Liberal journalists are scared of their liberal base doing basic accountability journalism. CBS covering this hospice story is seen as some sort of unforgivable sin,
yeah,
when it's really just simply saying the government's wasting your money. Yes, it's happening in a blue state, but it could happen anywhere.
It was actually good reporting, and why something like that is partisan is just beyond me. But it became, to your point, it became partisan, so I don't really understand that. Look, I'm all for Barry's changes, and I'll be very curious to see, you know, moving forward what happens. I think that you and I and people that highlight this stuff on a regular basis are just looking for just a little bit of fairness in some of this reporting. I don't expect it to change that much, but I mean, good Lord, the way, there's just no doubt, and you offered Steve Croft as an interesting example. I kind of forgot about him, but one of the things that they said in the reporting in the aftermath of all this is there are some people that feel like what 60 Minutes lacks, and this is sort of a duh, is like that intensity of a Mike Wallace moment. Remember when Mike Wallace used to really grill people? And he would, you know, I think Mike certainly leaned left, but he would do it on both sides, and he would put people in positions where they had to answer the questions. I, with you, have brought up, I think, a better example, and that's Tim Russert on Meet the Press, because Tim pushed everyone, you know, and he asked questions, and you wouldn't know that he worked for a Democrat in Daniel Patrick Moynihan. We don't have people like that. We don't have enough people like that, unfortunately.
Well, I'll just say one example here is CBS had Jonah Kaplan report on the fact that a lot of the folks who were injured in those Iranian drone attacks are concerned about their protection. They're saying, yeah, we didn't really have any sort of air defenses. We really weren't in super hardened facilities over in Kuwait and elsewhere. That's not positive toward the administration, you know? Like, the administration, they're saying the administration left these people to basically die over in Iran or put them in a precarious position. That's not positive toward the administration, and he's a new hire by Barry Weiss. So to simply say that, oh, this is just MAGA TV, this is Newsmax.
It's ridiculous.
This is Fox News.
Yeah.
Just watch the actual newscast. Brian Stelter finally said that in his newsletter today, and I was glad he said that maybe we all need to, like, watch more CBS News to actually see what their newscasts are about instead of focusing on, ooh, Tony DeCoppel, that, remember that second day when he did a Marco Rubio skit thing about all the memes that he's in? Or he did a news brief, not a full story, on the anniversary of January 6th from like 6 months ago. How about we actually look at the here and now? And also, they still employ Margaret Brennan.
Well, that should, yeah, you had me at they still employ Margaret Brennan. But, you know, I saw those comments by Stelter earlier, and I thought it was fake. I'm like, wait a second, this guy's actually making sense on this issue. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting that he even dared to say it. And I mean, my buddy Isaac Shore over at Mediaite wrote a column about this yesterday that, you know, in even in some of these Barry hit pieces where they spend like 20,000 words talking about how terrible she is, they kind of bury like 14,000 words in that, like, oh yeah, she's like complained to people about this and that policy of the Trump administration, and she says that this or that thing doesn't make sense. But never mind that, of course, because we have established this narrative that she's somehow MAGA, and therefore, you know, we have to sully this guy. And Bilton, by the way, I should mention, this guy is making documentaries at Netflix.
The new guy, the new EP, right?
Those documentaries at Netflix, right? And he used to write the New York Times as well, writing about tech issues. I mean, you just look up the guy on Google Images. Let me tell you, he does not look like a MAGA.
He's not. That's because he's not
by any stretch.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. By the way, I'm going to talk about this here in a couple of minutes and play some audio. But how about we can use this? Like, what would happen if Jill Biden went on 60 Minutes? And I don't know, maybe there's plans for that, but do you think that they would ask her? I was actually impressed. Craig Melvin from NBC actually lightheartedly got tough on her yesterday, but I'll be very curious to see if anyone actually, you know, roughs her up in a way that she should be based on the BS that she's spinning now with this book.
Yeah, by today's show standards, I thought Craig Melvin did a good job. Unfortunately, the track record at CBS with Joe Biden is not great, considering Scott Pelley interviewed him a few times, the aforementioned Scott Pelley, and he reminded folks that, you know, he has a stutter, so he really, when he stutters, that means he's working really hard on something.
Exactly.
And he even said to him when they walked to the floor of the Detroit Auto Show that how do you do it, Mr. President? You know, like, basically, do you get exhausted? Or I forget how it went down, but that was basically the gist of it. And when a journalist does that, to a politician, how do you do it? How do you not get tired? You know, you can just chuck that out the window in terms of it being a tough interview, unless you're being somehow facetious.
Yeah, well, that's because that's how he does his job for sure. Curtis Salk, Newsbusters, always great to have you on. Have a great week.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. Am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
See ya. All right, so Jill's doing her book tour. That actually is a very interesting question. You would have thought that if she was doing 60 Minutes, this is kind of the week that they would start promoting that. I don't know if she'll put herself in a position to answer tough questions. Let's face it, she went on The View today. This was actually somewhat comical, thinking about the title and the circumstances here.
Is there any part of you that went into protection mode of like, Joe, you can't keep doing this? Like, they're taking so much from you.
But the doctors told me he was fine. I'm not a doctor. I mean, I am a doctor.
Yes, you are, Dr. Biden.
Oh, my God. Right. With the doctors. Here's my question. How about everyone else that could see with their own eyes, including the entire planet, that he was not okay? So maybe you put your trust in the doctors a little bit, but you have to kind of see what's in front of you. And apparently she didn't do that.
Oh, she did, but she's just not owning up. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Look, here's Clay Travis on this.
I think Jill Biden was power hungry. And
yes.
I think she covered up her husband's clear mental and physical decline because she desperately wanted to remain first lady and wanted to stay in the White House. My guess is that she wants to have some sort of viable future. She's a decade, I believe, younger than Joe Biden, and she's trying to cleanse herself from all of the lies that she told during the end of Joe Biden's tenure. And she wants to be viable as a political or public figure in some way, and sees that many people are blaming her for what went on. And so she's continuing to throw her husband under the bus.
Yeah, I think Clay kind of gets it right there. But that's why I would love to see, you know, my question going into this over the weekend was, will anyone ask her tough questions? And we kind of mentioned that Craig Melvin did to a certain extent yesterday on the Today Show. And you kind of heard even Curtis say, well, like in a Today Show way, right?
How do you square thinking that he may have had a stroke with what you were saying in the days and weeks after?
I'm watching, just like everybody else was, scared to death, like, what is going on? He gets off the stage. I see he appears to be okay. He says to me, Jill, I really, in other words, messed up, didn't I? And I said, yes, you did. And so we get off, and I know we're going into another event or we have more to do. And my mind's racing. What do I say to him? What do I say to him? I'm his wife. I've got to lift him up. I had to support him. I couldn't come out. And, I mean, really publicly say, Joe, you did a terrible job in debate?
No, here's what you do. You have a private conversation with your husband, with your family, which is the exact opposite of what you did. And you say, "It's. Mm-hmm. I think it's time. Uh-huh. We're worried about you. You've had a 50-year career, mm-hmm. blah, 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 all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's time to get out, you know, mm-hmm. because there's no way you can ever convince me that Jill Biden didn't see the same damn thing that George Clooney and all the Hollywood people saw and no one was going to talk about until they panicked when that debate took place. We never would have heard from George Clooney about any of that. We all knew. We were all highlighting his deficiencies. But if that debate performance was just a little bit better, you know, we probably wouldn't have gotten Kamala, right?
Well, and she never, ever answers the question. And the question wasn't, how did you handle it immediately after? The question was, why did you lie about it afterwards?
For weeks.
Forever.
One more soundbite from The View here.
On Vice President Harris, do you think that she could have won if she had had more time in the race?
I thought she was going to win. I mean, I went out there and I campaigned for her all over the country.
Okay.
Do you think the abbreviated timeline may have made it too big of a task?
No, she was up to the job. Otherwise, why would Joe give her, you know, say, here, Kamala? I mean, she was up to it. Otherwise, why would she run for president if she didn't feel she was up to it? I went to bed assuming she would win. I ran into the bedroom and I woke Joe up and I'm like, Joe, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you wake me up? And he said, yes, you know, she lost. And I was shocked.
Do you think she should run again in 2028?
That's up to Kamala.
Okay, but that...
Are you kidding me?
But she discredits herself even more right there. Because if you're that politically naive, are you kidding me?
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. Let me take a look at my notes for tomorrow. We'll see if Fred has anything said. I'm sure he does. Oh, we got Dwayne Patterson because it's a Wednesday, so we'll talk to him about politics. Former United States Senator Jim Talent at 5 p.m., the very latest on Iran. So we'll do that in the next hour. It's Tuesdays. We have a little fun segment that we do with ThrottleNet.
Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal of ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet.com.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so much looking forward to our little educational seminar that we have planned for tomorrow morning. So that's really kind of getting me excited. How are you this afternoon?
Yes. Very good. Good to talk to you again. Yeah, be sure to bring your laptop and your tablet tomorrow.
I will. I'm going to bring my MacBook and my iPad and we'll be set to go. Now, listen, this was not on your list, but I just want to share this with you because I played it earlier. I have a friend, a really good friend in Cleveland. We share a lot of songs that we like, right? We have similar musical tastes. So he sends me one today, and I'm listening to it. This guy named Eddie Dalton. He's an older dude. Listen. But you live long enough. I mean, really, really soulful. And I sent this message to my friend. I'm like, hey, is he one of those artists that kind of, because he's older in the image that I have, is he one of those guys that's been around for a long time? Or is he kind of a guy that hit it late in his career? And George, it's neither. That is an AI voice right here.
Yes.
And it sounds so freaking good. And it kind of makes me mad that I didn't know it was an AI voice. Yeah.
That's so good. I actually created a playlist of just AI songs. And I'm jamming to them in the car. And some of them are like 1990s hip hop, like Tupac and Biggie. And they're turned into 1950s, 60s soul music. And it's dynamite.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So good.
Because Sue and I kind of agreed we didn't want to listen to AI
stuff.
I don't, out of principle.
Yes.
I know. Out of principle, you're right, because it's not fair to the artists who are really creative and have the talent to sing and play and everything when somebody else is just basically taking, using text to come up with their own song. But that's the era we're living in. And can you imagine our kids going to a live AI concert someday? What are they gonna do?
Well, let me piggyback on that, because one of the topics that you have here, and it might not be at the top of your list, but you're telling me that MIT students have created electrodes that will move muscles by using AI to do things like play the piano, drawing, mixing, drink. So I can still be a rock star is what you're talking. I can play piano as good as Billy Joel, right?
Yes. It's a prototype. It's in development, but these kids created it in 48 hours. Literally a couple of days. There's, the little electrodes you can put on your muscles that make your muscles twitch. A lot of it can be used for rehabilitation. Yeah. Some of it can be used for building muscle. These are little electrodes they put on their wrists and their hands. And they literally are using glasses that has AI built in, tied to the electrodes. And they're looking at the piano and you say what song you want to play. And the AI starts using the electrical shocks. It doesn't hurt, but using the electrodes to actually move your fingers to play the notes that are next in the song. I mean, it's incredible. And these kids created it that are still in MIT. They're geniuses. They could pour mixed drinks. So the AI would see all the bottles of the drinks on the counter. And you would say, I want to make this particular drink. And the AI will guide your hand to pick up the drink, pour the drink into the glass for however long is supposed to be poured, and then tip the bottle back over. It's unbelievable. It really is astonishing. And imagine this is some 20-year-olds. Imagine what could happen if this was commercialized on a global scale. I mean, this could be huge.
Well, so it's so funny because you're so excited and the listeners can hear it. And Sue and I are both in here like we have these horrified looks on our faces like, no!
Oh, my God.
Please, no. All right, but we got to get to some other topics here. So one of the things that you pitched here was called the Digital Inheritance Crisis, right? So explain what that's all about.
Yeah, this is actually pretty scary, and I'm glad we're talking about this. Everyone needs to be paying attention to this right now. If you do not have your passwords put somewhere where your spouse, where your business partner, wherever that may be, and you pass away or you become disabled, permanently disabled, the federal government laws will not allow Google, Microsoft, Apple to release any of your content to your loved ones or your business partners. It is a serious problem. You could lose all of your access to your GoDaddy domains, your financial dashboards. You could lose access to applications because look, if you can't access your phone, the multi-form factor authentication, you know, the little code that gets sent to you when you go to log in? Well, if that person's deceased or gone, you have no access to that. So you can't log into anything. You can't get pictures. You can't get anything that's on that person's computer. And they're doing it for privacy reasons. I get it. But if you don't have what's called a digital will, and there's a real easy way to do this. It takes 2 seconds. I'll tell you in just a second. But if you don't have a digital will, it is excruciatingly expensive and takes a long time with attorneys to file cases with the government to release those passwords. So you need to go onto Apple. It's called the legacy contact. You need to set up a legacy contact through Apple. Google calls it an inactive account manager.
Okay.
So go on the internet, go look up Google account manager or inactive account manager. And then also, if you're an Apple user, look up legacy contact and set it up. It takes about 2 minutes, but if you don't do it and you pass away or become permanently disabled and you can't speak or do anything, all of your digital world is gone and locked up.
Unless yeah, that's
you go,
real.
Unless your family that, goes and gets a lawyer.
That's a real issue. It really is.
It really is.
Oh, man. Because, like, my friend was just out there in Las Vegas, but my friend Rick in Vegas, he mainly posts pictures on Instagram, so he has, you know, the recollection of them. So he has those memories. But if he kicks it, then no one else can have access to those, is what you're
That's
saying.
Right.
That's right.
It's all gone. And then your business, you need to have what's called basically a break glass protocol, so that if something bad happens, there are policies in place to be able to recover passwords, to be able to get access to things. Because imagine everything on the cloud is locked up. So if your business is operating on Gmail, Microsoft 365, if you're out there operating in the cloud, your whole world is locked up if you pass away. And if you don't have the right security measures in place and you haven't set up a legacy contact, then you're leaving your business partners a nightmare to go out and get lawyers and file a court case to go through and get this back. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's really good advice, and I didn't even really think about that.
I didn't know that existed, and I can't find it on my phone.
Hey, put it on your list to walk me through tomorrow. How about that?
Absolutely.
You're going to do everything for me. All right, how about the situation? You know, you just mentioned the cloud and everything, but there's a bit of a showdown on that when it comes to privacy as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the privacy thing in the cloud is absolutely crazy. One of the things that's coming up next Monday is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, and I'm really excited to see what's coming out of this. And this is the privacy of AI versus the cloud. So Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, all the AI platforms are having your data on the cloud. So when you talk to AI, like we're going to do tomorrow morning, your information is being stored on their servers, okay?
Okay.
Apple is not about that. Apple's all about privacy. So they're going to have the biggest revolution to the iPhone in the last 10 years. It's going to be announced on Monday, and that's going to be an AI processing chip, an AI that is built into the device and does not talk to Apple's cloud. So everything that you do on your phone, tablet, or MacBook through Siri will be on that local device only. Now, that's awesome. I love it. I'm so proud of them for not having to respecting all of our privacy. The problem with this is, and it could be a conspiracy, whatever, but because you need a powerful chip to run the AI locally, because remember, when you make a request on AI now, it's going to the cloud. Their cloud servers are doing all the computing, and then they send you the result back. Now, all of the computing is done on this local device, which means your old equipment isn't going to have the processing power to do this. So the conspiracy is like, well, now they're forcing us to upgrade to all this new equipment to make sure that we have the AI chip. You know what I mean? It could be. And obviously, I love what they're doing. It's the privacy is the most important thing. It really, really is. But if you want this AI technology to run all of your apps on your phone and be able to talk to it and build it into your Apple Home devices, then you're going to need to upgrade the equipment. And so that's what they're going to be talking about on Monday.
Luckily, I'm in a situation where I think I'm pretty updated when it comes to the AI stuff right now.
Oh, my gosh.
But you're going to help me out with that tomorrow. So we'll find out for
that's
sure.
That's right.
I have another question.
Right.
If everything is on that Apple and it's in that chip, so when you get a new phone, let's say in the future when you upgrade, do you just take that chip out? In other words, everything is usually on the cloud and you just download it to a new phone. In this case, how do you do that?
So what they're going to do, from now on, once you buy a new device, then when you migrate all your data over to that new device, let's say you get an iPhone 18 that comes out.
Yeah.
And then a year later, the 19 comes out. And you're like, well, I want the 19. So when the 19 comes out, they have a protocol that's basically a process that is going to transfer all of that conversational data, all of that informational data that you've had with your AI over to the new device. But it's not stored on the cloud. So what will happen is it'll be temporarily stored on iCloud and then brought back down to the new device and then removed. But the point of what's great about this is you have ultimate privacy so that they're not selling your data. Everything you talk about with AI right now is up for grabs. It's up for advertising. It's up for sale. It's also being used to improve their models, their language models. They're using your conversations to improve their systems. Hmm. Whereas Apple's taking a gamble here and they're saying, no, all your stuff's going to be on your device and we're going to improve the models ourselves without all of your data. And I really appreciate that, honestly.
That's pretty impressive. Yes.
It is, and I'm so glad they're doing that. They've been very, very big proponents of security, you know, and of course that causes problems with law enforcement. If there's crimes, if there's certain issues that law enforcement needs to get on your phone, they have to have all types of what you call it, warrants, and there's a process to get into your phone, and it's because Apple's locked things down so well.
Interesting stuff. Wow. Always great topics here on Tech Talk Tuesday. I'm very much looking forward to my class tomorrow morning. Did we say 8:30 or 9? You tell me.
I had you down at 8:30, but I'll be at the office no matter what. We'll do the little nickel dime tour, and we can sit down and go through and get you set up on whatever platform you want to get. We'll start on Gemini, I'd love to show you Claude. I think you're going to be fascinated with it. And you definitely are going to benefit show prep on the AI, let me tell you.
Whoa. You're assuming that I do any now, so it really is not going to be a whole lot of reach. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30, George. Take care.
You got it. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
ThrottleNet.com. All right, Sue, I didn't bring this up, but there was a really interesting piece in the New York Times the other day, and it was written by a columnist. Let me see if I can get her name, because now it just got stuck on me here. Taffy Bertisser-Ackner. And the headline certainly caught my attention. It was clickbait, but it worked. It said, I profile celebrities for a living. Nothing prepared me for Tilly Norwood. That's because Tilly Norwood is AI.
Yes.
Okay? So she goes, once I went indoor skydiving with Melissa McCarthy. Once I smoked a cigarette with Gwyneth Paltrow in her living room. I once slept on a tour bus through Alabama a few feet away from Billy Bob Thornton. And then she kind of goes on and on about some of these. And then the world changed drastically. I went to London to interview a computer? A robot named Tilly Norwood, whom her creator calls the world's first AI actress. And, you know, like, the whole thing was weird. You know, it obviously, I think, would be weird. She goes, she was polite, distant. Her answers were carefully constructed so as to not actually tell me anything.
Yeah, there
that's
you kind go.
Of what athletes do, though, right? Her implied compliments had an outsized effect on me. Sometimes people pause before they answer a question. Again, I ask, was this that different? And she says, and she kind of goes into the details about how asking Tilly, how's your day going? And Tilly, it says, was created to be sort of a platonic ideal of an actress, pretty but relatable, young, thin, dimpled, freckled, charismatic but low-key, symmetrical but not too. Tilly is about a year old, though, but she looks as if she's in her 20s. She was wearing a blazer without a shirt on underneath, which any publicist I know would have told her was too much for a daytime first interview. But, I mean, is this where we're going now? See, this is kind of my whole thing. I understand we have special effects in movies, and I understand that AI is going to have, you know, certainly an effect on that, maybe in positive ways. But, you know, if you're a musician, if you're a creative type, if you're an actor or an actress, there's going to have to be some rules that are set down.
I have to imagine that there will be, we go so far and then there's backlash. Like, this is way too far. Well, we've got to, you know.
We're good in this country at doing that. We wait. But I think in the conversations that we've had with George, we recognize that there are, you know, in Washington, I think pretty high level talks about AI. And look, the Pope even weighed in a couple of weeks ago. But how does everyone get on the same page? That's the thing.
And it moves so quickly.
Yeah.
The changes, and it keeps advancing when you blink. I don't get it. I don't know.
Something tells me that when I am in here tomorrow, which will be after my little class with George, that I'll even be more scared about all this stuff. But we'll see. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right. It's jungle primary day, so by tomorrow afternoon, we will know the top two finishers in the mayoral race in Los Angeles. Will Spencer Pratt crack into the top two in the mayor's race? Will Tom Steyer, someone who's even crazier, like far crazier than Gavin Newsom, will he be one of the two candidates for governor? So a couple of audio bites related to this. I love this. Bill Maher was on with Spencer Pratt. Spencer Pratt was a reality TV show. Bill was trying to talk to him about some, you know, environmental issues.
I don't need to know about solar, you know.
Okay,
I need to focus on making sure the moms are safe and the animals are not being abused. That's my party.
I know, but if you're the mayor.
The solar panels, that's going to be somebody I'm hiring. That's my deputy mayor is going to worry about the solar panels.
No, Spencer, I got bad news. If you're the mayor, you're going to have to learn some of these issues more.
Solar panels. We're about 3 years from worrying about solar panels. We need to get all the naked drug addicts off of the sidewalks, and then I can worry about solar panels.
Yeah, I think we're way more than 3 years away from talking about solar panels, but that's Los Angeles. And then this is maybe my favorite. I haven't played this one today. There was a hearing Marco Rubio was at with members of the United States Senate, and Jackie Rosen, who is a senator from Nevada, asked a question of Marco Rubio. You be the judge. I don't think it went very well.
I was shocked to see that you were at a party with President Trump in Miami instead of accompanying Vice President Vance to Pakistan for negotiations.
What party was I at? I was at a party?
It's publicly reported, and there's photos there.
But what party? No, but you're going to say that. I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer that question. That's an absurd statement. I was not at a party.
I finished my paragraph.
You're 100% inaccurate and 100% wrong. I was not at a party. Where I was is next to the president. Because in the midst of those negotiations, I was in communications with them. I know your staff wrote up this cute statement for your TikTok video, but it's not true. And it's not real.
I mean, she didn't have an answer because she was just, to his point, that was something a staffer writes up and says, oh, here's a gotcha moment that didn't turn out very well.
Nope.
I love Rubio. I think he handles himself so well. You know, look, there's going to be, in the next couple of years, we're going to talk a lot, maybe even the next couple of months, we're going to talk a lot about Rubio and J.D. Vance and how, you know, the machinations of all that are going to work moving forward. Because, look, Marco was a guy that I really liked in 2016. I think at that point, there was, you know, youth issues, immaturity, whatever. But I love what he's doing right now, and how he responds to the media is outstanding.
He speaks very quickly and very accurately, and he has great recall. He sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Sue, have a great night. I'm going to the ball game with my daughter and some friends tonight. My class with George tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. And got a lot on tap, including, what did Fred say? I know I always forget this, and this is that moment where Fred's driving home. Yeah. He's like, Mark, I told you like five times. Jim Talent, Dwayne Patterson, both on the show tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.